From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 17th day of June 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist and market specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus, will be here to talk about the end of the month acreage and stocks numbers and what things look like for both corn and soybeans as it's related to price. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast from Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois, and catch up on the cash grain situation with the folks at the Andersons. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago today, futures finished higher. July corn up a penny and three quarters at 454 and three quarters. December at 468 and a half, up a nickel. Next year's May up five and a half at 474. And July of next year at 474 and a quarter, up six and a quarter. July beans 16 cents higher today at $9.12 and three quarters. November at 939 and a half, up 16. January 15 and three quarters higher at 950 and three quarters, and July at 962 and a quarter for 2020 at 10 and a quarter cents higher. The bean oil futures up 53 cents, bean meal 80 cents higher for the day. July soft red winter wheat a penny higher at 539 and a half. The hard red July down three quarters at $4.74 and a half. Live cattle futures, June contract up 67 and a half cents at 109.45, August at 105.62 and a half, up a buck 35, and August feeder cattle for the day $1.40 higher at 136.92 and a half. July lean hogs $83 and a nickel for 100 pounds, up $1.70. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Norma, Illinois, to try to make sense of what happened in Chicago. Kind of unique day. I wonder how it is that soybeans managed to rally. Any idea?
Well, it's the ear of the night, Todd. You just got to be optimistic here. It's a dynamic event. The first thing kind of comes front and center, gauging the volume and the order entries. It looked like more of a spread activity, buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat on the spread. And also, too, as each day goes by, particularly after the weekend through here, the moisture situation, it appears we're going to have some trouble getting the beans in if this forecast holds true of above normal precip. Now, granted, we've got a projected billion bushel carryout. You can lose half that and still have plenty of beans around. But just with the uncertainty of this late crop and the yield potential, mainly with the cool forecast, has the trade a little bit on edge, for say. Probably in the bean complex, something to keep an eye on, and you've been talking about this for several years, is the bean oil. I know you were mainly talking about bio future there, but we did see a significant drawdown on the NOPA crush report on bean oil stocks, and 1.581, and they were looking for about 1.7. That's kind of tightening up. So if you're looking for something that's still undervalued on the board, I'd take a look at that bean oil and maybe give that a stab if you're wanting to try to capture something to the upside in through here. This afternoon, we'll see what the planting progress report shows on beans. The average guess is about 79% complete versus 60% last week. The range is fairly wide, 75% to 85% complete. So we'll just see how those numbers come in play here. But just like corn and wheat, the momentum is up. It's a little overbought, but the trend is higher.
Oh, the trend is higher. A bit overbought. I take it you're looking for a setback.
Well, setbacks are going to be shallow. If it's a good bull market, it'll stay overbought, just like a good bear market stays oversold. But, we should have intraday pullbacks and continue to close firm. Word of caution, voodoo, I guess. Today is full moon. Sometimes you get trend changes, and also Friday is the first day of summer. And in past history, I don't know if you can count on past history, but weather rallies going into late June usually kind of top out. So you got to kind of be a little cautious here and keep an eye on them.
On that note, the bull spread not working in the corn market today.
Yeah, that was obvious thing that everybody's been watching at. That thing gained quite a bit there last week. And last week, when you kind of watch the commercial guys, grain guys, elevator guys, there was fear in their eyes. There was fear in their voice. And I think maybe they've gotten some coverage on and maybe where they want to be on that spread or in the cash market here short term. But the other thing, too, in the July is option expiration is Friday. So we're going to have a lot of option trade take place, whether it's matching futures and options or bull call spreads or bear put spreads. So there can be some little volatility here as we go into the week with those July options expiring.
I will ask you, there will be an awful lot of July options that were purchased by producers because they were looking for something cheap and didn't buy enough time or didn't buy all the time. Do they roll them? Do they just take profits on them? Do you have a suggestion in that category?
Yeah, that's a great question. Trying to manage a cash replacement or even on the put side of the equation, too. But basically, the July options have sucked most of the juice or taken a lot of the volatility or time value out of those. So they're moving basically with the market. And for those that's in the money, the things that's taken place is, and we've done this at least once or twice, is to roll those up and get your initial investment out or roll it up. So if we would have a correction in through here, you will not get in a position to give back what you've gained on this rally here. So you got to kind of manage it that way. It's kind of neat, you know, to roll those up, take some money out, and you're still in the market. If it goes, you're still on board. The other thing, though, come Friday here, you got to make a decision what you want to do with those. And you can move those into a deferred month. There's a lot of option premium on those deferred contracts, and they're quite pricey. So you got to kind of manage what you're doing there and don't get caught buying a bunch of option premium and all of a sudden see that evaporate on you.
We talked about the rain over the weekend. I'm wondering what the crop condition report will look like. Might it show a corn crop or a bean crop that's in better condition than they think, simply because the rain makes it look a lot better, at least that what's in the ground?
Well, that's a great comment question there, because a lot of areas were in dire need of rain. They planted and put the crop in on the idea that it would continue rain to dry it out. So I think it's going to be beneficial for the short term. Corn conditions expected to be 59% good to excellent. Last week we were 59% good to excellent, but the range is anywhere from 56 to 62%. You know, it varies a lot. You'll be driving along, some corn looks real good. You'll be driving along, corn looks real good, but small. You'll be driving along, you'll see nothing but bare dirt, and then you'll see some water holes and some real rough-looking stuff. So that's going to be a juggling balance as we move forward. As far as planting progress report on corn, they're looking for the average guess to be about 92% complete as a nation. The range is anywhere from 90 to 95% versus last week's 83%. For the most part, corn platters have been put away.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Very good. Take care.
Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. He follows the marketplace and has penned another article for the Farm Doc Daily website, this one looking forward to the acreage and stocks report numbers that are at the end of this month on the 28th. Todd, well, what was it of most concern for you in your penning?
Well, the acreage number is the most concerning. I think that report's going to swamp any kind of stocks number we see out of the June 1st stocks report. The magnitude of the acreage loss in the corn belt this year, I think it's going to be very large. It's going to be a lot of uncertainty all through the summer. We're probably not going to really know till the October FSA reports come out. But anywhere above 10 million acres seems feasible at this point. It's very difficult to say, but when you combine what we're looking at with an acreage loss and just the sheer amount of corn planted in June into some pretty horrendous conditions, the yield number could be off as well before it's all said and done. So we're looking at a massive supply shock in corn, hence the rally we've seen over the last month and a half, but it's really picked up steam in the last couple of weeks. As far as stocks, they're going to probably reflect the weakening demand we've seen over the last few months, particularly in the export market. When I do my stocks calculations, I just assume USDA's feed and residual projection is correct and back it out from there where I think it'll be. My number would be about 79 million bushels more than last year if USDA's feed and residual of 5.3 billion bushels is correct. Now, I'm on record as saying I think they're too high after that March 1st stock shock we had, so it could be higher than that. But it's going to take a huge deviation in the June 1st corn stocks number to swamp any kind of acreage number we see in the June acreage report for corn.
Why have exports backed off?
Well, we've seen huge crops in South America. Argentina and Brazil have both put in big crops, and we saw a decent crop out of Ukraine last year, and in the world marketplace they've been cheaper, and that's really all you can say about it. In a lot of ways, some of our major export markets are still taking our corn, but the pace has slackened considerably in the last 5 months as world competitions come into the market. Particularly in South America, we've seen currency weakness across the board in Brazil and Argentina. And when you look at their free onboard prices, they've been very competitive and they've been taking some of that market share. That's what's going on. So I expect that to continue throughout the summer. We saw the USDA lower their export projection for 18-19 by 100 million bushels in the last WASD. By my models, I think that's pretty close to where it should be. But if weakness continues to pick up through the summer, it could deteriorate more.
What do you think the acreage number will look like?
I wish I knew that for sure. I think it's going to be down. So here's the problem, and I wrote about this today. When the survey went out, there was still a lot of uncertainty about planting. I personally believe whatever acreage number we see, and I think it could be 5 to 7 million acres down in the report, that's not the final story. I think you'll see the acreage deteriorate throughout the year until we get the final prospective plantings report. So, you know, when you look at the data, I've got a little graph in my presentation today. When we see high prevented plant acres, like over a million prevented plant acres in corn, since 1996, we've traditionally seen the final acreage number be about 626,000 acres lower than the June acreage report. If you really dig into it, when we see a huge amount of prevent planted acres, usually the final acreage number is significantly lower than the June acreage report because we just don't know yet about all the prevent plant and additionally failed acres that might be out there. I'm still of the belief that this is just maybe an all-time supply shock to corn. When you combine the acreage, we're probably going to lose and what looks like a mediocre yield at best in the corn crop.
So the prevent plant seminars, webinars that you and Jonathan Kappas and Gary Schnittke have done and will do again on Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock this week and next week, you talk some about this, and you have a chart with the supply and demand figures, which shows, I think, a 7 million drop and a 10 million drop.
Now, that's 7 million above what the USDA just did in the WASD. So that would be a 10 million drop from the March Prospective Plantings Report. I know a lot of people think we're crazy here at Illinois for talking those kind of numbers, but the market's gradually coming to us over time. It's bad, I think.
And you show numbers for the cash side, that would be big.
Yeah, I think you'll see some rationing start when we get near $5, if we get near $5 cash. But what we've seen in the corn market here in Illinois, basis has strengthened considerably. So when you look at some of these harvest deliveries in some places, it's zero or even positive. Even locally, everybody's holding on to their old corn crop as well. So we've seen basis strengthen a lot. And when you're in this scenario where basis is strengthening and the futures price are going up, your strategy is delayed pricing, right? I think right now is a time for farmers to start getting some price objectives in their mind for where they would sell corn as we move through this marketing year and into the next one. think about the 2020 crop as well. So what corn price would you sell at? How are you going to make that happen? What's your marketing strategy to maximize this little window? Because when we get these supply shocks, usually they don't last that long. So you got a limited window to take advantage of these price dynamics. And I think now's the time to start thinking about it. I know a lot of guys are long corn. They can ride out. When do you want to get out of it? If you're not long corn on the futures market and you're looking to price, now's the time to start thinking about what price do I want to hit. We could see corn prices, depending on what the summer weather is, get way up there. But rationing is going to be severe. So keep all that in mind when you're thinking about marketing this year.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist, part of the Farm Doc Daily team here at the University of Illinois. You can see his pinnings on the Farm Doc Daily website each and every Monday afternoon, or most of them. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. We're joined by Mark Russo from Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Mark, thanks for being with us. Can you tell me about the next 10 days in the Midwest?
Sure, Todd. As we look out here, especially over the next 10 days, the pattern is going to remain quite active across the Corn Belt. Now, specifically, as we look from now through the remainder of this week, i.e. the next 5 days, basically the central and southern sections of the Midwest will see some of the more heavier totals and some of the most active conditions, i.e. frequency of rain will be the highest. And along with that, the totals will be the heaviest in places such as Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Indiana, and Michigan. Still some light rain showers are expected up north in areas of Minnesota and on in the Dakotas, but a bit more of the widespread activity and heaviest amounts will be down south. As we get into that second five-day block over the weekend and on during the first half of next week, that kind of zone of higher rainfall total shifts northward and begins to encompass more of the Midwest. So all in all, it's still a pretty active pattern here, especially over the next 10 days. And from a temperature perspective, this week will be unseasonably cool across much of the Midwest. So some of the cooler temperatures seen over this weekend will continue here this week. And then next week, we do anticipate much warmer conditions here. Nothing exceptionally hot, but getting back to more kind of normal, maybe a few areas slightly above normal during that final portion of June.
Yesterday, India attached some tariffs to pulses coming in from the United States. This in response from more than a year ago, March of 2018, tariffs that the United States had imposed on steel and aluminum. And they finally just came to no negotiation between the two nations. I'm wondering whether in that nation, they are having any difficulty with the monsoon that feeds, of course, a lot of their agricultural production.
Well, Todd, they are beginning to see some issues to the start of their rainy season, and June is the climatologically onset of the Indian monsoon rainy season, and that is an area of concern due to the erratic start to monsoon rainfall. Now, over the next couple of weeks, there will be northward advancement of the leading edge of the monsoon, but even within much of the subcontinent, rainfall totals will register below normal, and that includes the main soybean, corn, cotton, and even groundnut areas there in central and northern India.
From India, turn your attention to the Black Sea area and the weather conditions there.
Yeah, specifically in Ukraine and Russia, as we've gone through the past week, we've seen temperature shift into a warmer than normal pattern and rainfall begin to be suppressed across the region. So they've shifted hotter and drier, and that pattern looks to continue as we go through the next couple of weeks as ridging of high pressure prevails over the region. Now, the ridge will be at its strongest intensity over the next 7 to 8 days, and that's when the temperatures will be the highest and rainfall will be most suppressed. Week two will feature some weakening of the ridge, but it still looks to stay in place and maintain that drier and warmer bias. So with that, actually that's favorable for winter wheat harvesting across the region, but it certainly is an item to watch for corn as it's developing. It has adequate soil moisture now, but crop stress will be increasing via that hotter and drier pattern here upcoming.
Hey, thanks, Mark, and you have a great week.
Hey, you too, Todd. Thank you.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Let's now check the cash grain market. Amy Sage is here. She's from the Andersons. Hey, good afternoon to you, Amy. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
So I know what we really just have to talk about is basis levels. Is it continuing to get better?
It really is. We're seeing a lot of strength in corn basis, and we saw more improvements today, and pretty drastic across the board here. You're looking at both processor and rail outlets that are improving. Part of that is because we are still seeing logistical issues on the river. Also, I think that because of the slow start to planting and concerns over what the production's going to be, people are trying to cover needs with this old crop as well. So continuing to see improvement in corn basis as this month progresses. And really, we're seeing some improvement in bean basis as well at the processor markets. So could ripple effect as well. The board has been rallying additionally, and I think that bean basis is a little bit slower than what corn is, a different situation, of course, but it is trending that direction as well.
I can understand bean basis, I suppose, on the spot month continuing to tighten up, maybe because farmers believe that there aren't that many bean acres out there. But it surprises me some that it would have so much strength given the number of bushels that actually appear to be available from the old crop and maybe even still from the new crop. That's yet to be determined.
Yes, absolutely. And there really is old crop beans left to move. I think that part of the spot market in beans with the improvement too is we're seeing it more at the processor, as I had mentioned, with guys being busy in the field. The actual farm movement has slowed down, and as they're needing to meet their needs on a weekly basis, I think that that's probably influenced that a little bit as well.
So is there a difference between processor bids and, for instance, elevator bids?
There is. Quite a large spread, and we've seen the processor improve at a much quicker rate than what we've seen the commercial improve in the spot market on beans. Corn is a little bit different. Corn's just been strong across the board.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. She helps us wrap up this Monday edition. Don't forget, you can always find our content online at WILLAG.org, from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between. Updated four times a day at WILLAG.org. You can find us in iTunes, though I'm still working on the links there. They've not been updated by Apple for a bit. I've almost got it, so we'll have that fixed soon enough. And of course, the Google Play Store, along with Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and naturally the NPR One app. Look for us anywhere that you might use a podcast. It's all about the service that comes to you from Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world, and Illinois Extension. That wraps up this edition. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.